A sermon by Reverend Richard A. Rem, preached at Christ Community Church in Spring Lake, Michigan, on January 11, 1998, entitled, It's So Simple Once You See It. The texts for the sermon are Ephesians 3, verses 1 through 21, and Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. Copyright, Grand Valley State University.
The season is Epiphany, the symbol is a star, the theme is the light of the world that was manifest in Jesus Christ, our Lord. It was the breaking forth of that light out of the particularity of Israel into a global perspective. This was anticipated by the prophets. Isaiah had written of the nation being called to be a beacon to all nations. This indeed was already anticipated in the call to Abraham and Sarah. The covenant of grace was to embrace all people. Abraham blessed to be a blessing to all nations of the earth. There was always in that particularity of Israel's experience that latent universality. Because the God of Israel was not a tribal God, the God of Israel was the one true God who enlivened all that is, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And so it was in Jesus Christ that the gospel of Jesus Christ proclaimed the actualization of what had long been anticipated. This was the startling realization of the Apostle Paul. This is what made Paul, Paul, as that passionate evangelist who journeyed through the ancient world tirelessly proclaiming that the light had come and the secret of God was now made manifest, that what had always been true was now being realized, that God was God alone and embraced the whole human family within God's love. This conversion experience of Paul transformed him and gave him an insight which left him never at rest until he had proclaimed everywhere passionately that the light had come, and that the love and grace of God were for all, creating one new humanity. If you read my manuscript, and there is one, you would find the word conversion in quotation marks in order to indicate that what we so commonly assume, that Paul was converted from Paul the Jew to Paul the Christian, simply isn't true. There's not a shred of evidence, not a shred of evidence in the New Testament that Paul, the Jew, ever became Paul, the Christian. Like Jesus, Paul was born a Jew, and Paul died a Jew. And the only God that Paul ever knew was the God of Israel, the God of his fathers and mothers and the faith, the tradition that had shaped him. That tradition was never rejected by him. He never moved out of it. In fact, there would have been no Christian church into which he could move at the time of his ministry. A strong case can be made for the fact that Paul is the founder of the Christian church. But Paul was never a member of it. And Paul would not have been the founder of the Christian church intentionally. Paul, rather, got a deeper insight, a radical understanding of that which was intrinsic in the faith of Israel, in the faith of his own tradition. Paul understood that that light had now broken forth in Jesus Christ. And that realization for him was not an interesting piece of intellectual data. For him, that was life transforming. A recent book on Paul by A.N. Wilson, the very fine English writer, history, biography, suggests the context in which Paul had his epiphany experience that transformed his life. Paul most certainly spent time in Jerusalem. Paul very likely studied in a school of the rabbis. Paul was schooled, in other words, in rabbinic Judaism. He would have been a part of that scene that was crowned by the magnificent temple that Herod had built. Herod, purportedly adopting the Jewish faith, but really Arab, financing his great building project with Roman money, had nonetheless made the Temple of Jerusalem the crown jewel of that holy city. And people from the ancient world streamed to Jerusalem to view the site. The disciples of Jesus on one occasion said to Jesus, "My, look at those stones." It was truly a splendid edifice. But over the door of the inner sanctum was that warning to any non-Jew, "Thou shalt not enter." And that was the paradox that was right in the heart of the Jewish faith. They who anticipated becoming light to the nations, who understood that the nations would flow to God's holy mountain for instruction in Torah, nonetheless blocked the inner sanctum from any but the children of Israel. And that conflict, that contradiction, lived within the tradition, and it must have lived within Paul. Paul, in his sojourn in Jerusalem, at some point became a member of the temple police. Was he already a member of the temple police when Jesus was arrested and crucified? We don't know. He doesn't make mention of it. But certainly he was aware of crucifixion and its horror. And he was a party to the temple police. His blinding experience happened on the road to Damascus when he was on the way to arrest those Jews who were followers of the way, Jesus' Jewish people. And that blinding experience that threw him to the ground might well have been that moment in which he recognized the absurdity, the contradiction, simply the wrongness of that in which he was engaged. For here he was, a son of Israel, one of those called to be light to the nations, whose own inner sanctum was shut out against the nations. And he, in the employ of the temple establishment, was on his way to perpetrate more violence. He, in the name of the God of Israel, whom Israel confessed to be not simply a tribal God, but the only God, he, in the name of that God, had become an agent of violence. Was it perhaps all of that that came to a dawning awareness and that blinding epiphany experience? Not a conversion from Judaism to Christianity. Probably in these moments and in the 3 years in Arabia to follow, when he must have found his head bursting as he meditated on all of this. Probably in these moments he came to see that this Jesus was indeed the one that God had anointed to be light to the world, and that through this Jesus, that light was now to be brought to the world. But Paul didn't become a Christian. There wasn't such a thing. Paul simply saw deeper into his tradition. Paul saw farther than any of his contemporaries. Paul began to see that it was wrong in the name of the one true God, whose eternal intention had that universal dimension, to become a perpetrator of violence in the name of that God. All of that stirring within him caused him to move from that point, after a period of contemplation, to become the passionate apostle to the Gentiles, to become that passionate advocate of one new humanity, one new human community through Jesus Christ. Paul could never rest. Paul, with a sense of urgency that would never quit, spent the rest of his life engaged in making that known. He saw deeper, he saw farther, he saw more radically the intention of God, which is intrinsic in his own tradition. And consequently, he became a stranger. He was now at odds with the temple authorities that had employed him to wipe out his Jewish brothers and sisters who were followers of the way. But he was also at odds with his Jewish brothers and sisters who before him recognized Jesus as a Messiah. Because while they recognized Jesus as the Messiah and were waiting for Jesus' reappearance, they were not ready, as Paul was, to throw open the doors, throw open the gates, and welcome all in. He had his struggles with James in Jerusalem, and the Jerusalem Council in Acts 15 indicates that there was severe tension. He had his argument with Peter in Galatia. Paul was all alone because he saw too much, too deep, too far, too radically. He saw in Jesus God's world-transforming act. And he could no longer be satisfied, certainly not to be a perpetrator of violence in the name of religion, but neither could he be satisfied with the walls that separated humankind. Paul understood that in Jesus Christ, God was making that dramatic move promised to Abraham, promised through the prophets, promised now embodied in Jesus, the light of the world. And Paul moved heaven and earth to make it known. Nowhere does that come to expression more succinctly than in his letter to the Ephesians, that third chapter, his understanding of his own apostleship and what he was about. Because you see, he recognized that there was now a mystery or a secret that had been hid with God that was now obvious. The secret was out. The sixth verse of the third chapter, he says, this is the secret, that the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise of Christ Jesus through the gospel. The Gentiles. The word Gentiles in the Greek is ethne. Do you think of an English word that's derived from ethne? How about ethnic? Paul is saying that all of the ethnic groups, not just grand nations, but all of the human groupings, all of those human groupings are now to be embraced, to come into fellowship, to form community. The community, the one community of God's people through Jesus Christ. Not that every community had to dot the I and cross the T in the same way, but the fact was that there was a human community because God was God alone, and God, as always had been true, but now was coming to expression. God embraced the whole human family in the heart of God. There were no outsiders and insiders. The insider Paul, the insider Jew, who had the revelation, who had the covenant, who had all of the blessings, were an agency for the effecting of that universalizing purpose of God that was always in God's heart. Long ages it has been hid, says Paul. God hid this thing in God's self. Now the secret is out. Fellow heirs, the Gentiles, the nations, the ethnic groupings, one fellowship. Fellow heirs in Christ Jesus. Amazing. Paul could get over it. And how did he understand his own mission? The 9th verse. To make everyone see. To make everyone see. And the word behind that, the Greek word is photidzo. Think again of an English word. What English word might come from photidzo? How about photo? I don't understand the physics of photographing, photography, but I do know if you shove a film in a camera and if you push a little button that a shutter goes momentarily, just instantaneously, and light filters in, and when the light comes in, there is an exposure on that film and a picture is produced. Light creating the picture that reveals through its image the reality which it captured, that moment of light. Paul says, it is his mission to make everybody understand, see. Someone has translated this, the light-becoming of the secret. That was Paul's, that was his radical insight. The light-becoming, the revelation, the manifestation. Finally, the secret is out. Paul says, don't you see it? I want to make you see it. My whole life, my whole ministry is to make you see it. No longer are there outsiders and insiders. No longer is there a wall of separation. No longer is there to exist hostility between the ethne, between the nations, the groupings. No longer is there to be that major separation between Israel, God's chosen instrument of light, and all of the rest of humankind. No, Paul says, can't you see it? I want to make you see it. Don't you see it? This is what has happened. It's happening now. This is what we are about. The temple establishment said, no. And James and Peter said, whoa. And Paul says, don't you see it? And he said, for that reason, I fall to my knees and I pray. I pray to the Father from whom the whole cosmos is stemmed, from whom every grouping, every human grouping gets its name, every nation, every ethnic group gets its name. This one God, God alone, the God of Israel, I pray to the God of Israel, the one true God from whom the whole human family is named, is made real, is recognized, is acknowledged, is held in grace and love. I pray to that God may grant you to be strengthened in the inner person with power through the Spirit, that the Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may know the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of the love of God. That you may come to comprehend the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. That you would know what is beyond knowing. That you would have that mystical, inward, intuitive reality grasp you, which is beyond any intellectual, rational description. That you would come to know love in all of its depth and all of its height and all of its length and all of its breadth, you would come to know. And all of that just so fills his being that he explodes in doxology now to the God who is able to do abundantly beyond anything we can think or imagine. To God be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus, generation after generation. Paul says, don't you see it? Don't you see it? And 2,000 years later, we don't see it very well, do we? Don't we in our own world shudder at the horrors of ethnic cleansing, where Muslim, Orthodox, Christian, and Roman Catholic Christian massacre one another? Don't we live in a world ready to explode with the tensions in the Middle East? Israel still, the navel of the earth, potentially ready to erupt. The conflict fueled by religion, religious dogmatism, bigotry. Don't we see a church at large not full of confidence and joy, but defensive and fearful? Don't we see the church still living with its divisions and its barriers? Haven't we learned what Paul said? I want you to see that there is no longer an outside and an inside, but one new humanity, where there is peace, one new human community. Don't you see it? We've begun to see it, haven't we? Thank God we've begun to see it. 25 years of a theology of grace, we've begun to see it. We've begun to see the joy that comes when all who come are received and none are excluded. We've begun to experience, haven't we, the enrichment that comes from our Jewish Christian dialogue as we come to experience the spirituality of the observant Jew and the richness of that tradition. We've come to see, we've come to have some sensitivity to the injustice of gender, and we've recognized the importance of language and have tried to be sensitive to that in order that women might be affirmed and received equally as human. We've acknowledged what science tells us and concrete experience validates for us, that sexual orientation is given and not a reason to exclude someone and condemn someone. We've had epiphany eyes to see the horror that has been visited on people simply because of who they are. And we've also positively begun to experience the warmth, the warming of the heart, when such a one is embraced and simply accepted for who they are. We've only just begun, you know. We've only scratched the surface. There's a world out there to love. There are barriers to cast down. There are fences to remove. There are scales from our eyes that have to fall. There's a lot of embracing that has yet to be done. But we've begun to know the joy of it, haven't we? we've begun to sense that that's what God's intention is. That's what makes human community. That's what makes life rich, beautiful. Paul said, don't you see it? Because you see, once you see it, it's so simple.